So my interest is essentially to discuss the pulmus, as it's known. Every proper word is pulmus. That Hebrew word really is very expressive. And to a large extent, it describes an ongoing machloket. Today, it's known as a machloket between B'nai Brak and Yerushalayim, or rather, I should say, B'nai Brak and the rest of Eretz Yisrael. In terms of how we view, how we regard Yibul Dachri, how we regard, and there are many circles that Dafka use Yibul Dachri L'chatchila, without right now addressing that issue. We spoke about that in the past, and here actually, in the sheet in front of you, maybe what I'll do is I'll start first with a very famous discussion in the Michas Chinuch. Michas Chinuch actually is found here. I didn't mark the pages, but if you look on Mitzvah Pei Dalet, it's sort of like page number 6 over here in this outline that you have. Yeah. So the Minchas Chinuch comments on the Chinuch. The Chinuch, I'll just more or less overview. He's talking about the mitzvah. We spoke already about this many times, about the number of places in Chumash where the Torah describes Shemitah. There are three very specific places where the Torah has extensive discussion of Shemitah, primarily in Pashas Bahar, that's the epicenter of the Yom Shemitah. You have all the four Yisum, the Raisa mentioned there. And then beyond that, you have Sukkim that are found in Pashas Re'eh, and then you also have Mishpatim. Now, in Mishpatim, you have the following series of Sukkim. The Torah says there, Vashmiyis Tishmetemeh Unitashto. The Torah there speaks about the obligation to go ahead and engage in an act of Shemitah. Unitashto means you should abandon the field, which Chazal understand to mean Hefker. So here the Sefer HaChinuch right away, the Mitzvah Pei Dalet cites this Mitzvah, the Mitzvah being Mafkin Pei Rishvias. That's what he writes. We'll just try to overview quickly. The Chinuch, Lahafkin Koma Shetotzi Oretz Bishon HaShvias. It's sort of in the middle there. She Nikreis Nehamase Azeh Shin Tzayab Nubosh Nasa Shmitah. Something that's hefker. Of course, anyone can come and be zocher from the hefker. Shenemar, and then he goes on to cite a mechilta of Rashi and Yochai, and essentially he basically formulates here this din of hefker, that the item should be hefker. And then he goes on here, Rabbi Miller. Thank you. So we're in the middle of this packet, reading the Michas Chinuch and Mitzvah Pei Dalet. So he writes over here, Mishar Shea Mitzvah. This is, again, very beautiful that the Chinuch, in his wondrous fashion, Mishar Shea Mitzvah, Likvua B'libeinu L'tzayar Tziyu Chazak B'machshateinu Inyat Chidush Olam. This is already something which is mentioned by many Rishonim. Namely, Rishonim draw an analogy to Shemitah. Shemitah is analogous to Shabbos. I mentioned the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma writes in his Perush al HaTorah, he compares Yom Tov to Yovel and Shemitah to Shabbos. And there are many, many areas of commonality between both of these different areas. Shemitah and Shabbos is really obvious. Shabbos was supposed to B'shav Sa'aret Shabbos Hashem, namely, the Psukim and Bahar that indicate that. I didn't make enough copies, I apologize. Vishav Sa'aret Shabbos Hashem. Reference to Shabbos, of course, we know that Vayom Ashvi Shabbos Vayinofash. So here the Chinuch says it outright. The analogy that's drawn between Shabbos and Shemitah. And he goes on to indicate this. Vayom Ashvi Shalabar Adabar. Hashem himself rested. And that's why we rest, just as Hashem rested. Essentially, he's addressing Aristotle, that the Aristotle believed in the eternity of the universe. And that's something which, of course, is clearly not in sync with our Hashkafa, namely that Hashem created the world, Yesh Me'ayin. And the Chinuch also alludes to that. And then he indicates that we have to devote, just as we devote one day a week, namely to this concept, so too, once every 7 years, we have a concept of Shemitah. And there's included in that, of course, is the idea of being mafkir. And then it goes on the next page, the paragraph that begins, Va'od yesh ta'alat nimsa v'davar, liktos b'zeh midat tavat ranut. The person should, in effect, learn to live bater. It's a very significant midah that has to be acquired. Ki ein nadiv ki notem nubli tikvah lagmu. Yod yesh ta'alat acher, namely, it obviously is going to accentuate the person bitachon and Hashem. So yes, a number of very beautiful ideas. We're interested primarily in the beginning of the chinuch, the namely that this issue of Shemitah has to be carried out through an act of hefke. Now the question, of course, is this something that is sheva al taseh? Does the hefke occur memela, automatically, what the Gemara calls hafkaita de malchusa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one responsible for this hefke, or is this actually a proactive action of the part of the Gabriel? So this is discussed by the Minchas Chinuch, the most famous Minchas Chinuch that's found here in the Sefer. And he essentially, let me just read the part that's relevant. He quotes here in the second paragraph. You look in the second paragraph where it says, Ani Mesupak. I think I mentioned already many times. I used to learn Minchas Chinuch, but I did it primarily before the Mechon Mishalai published this. I did it and I used to get a kick out of it, trying to lefanech Roshei Tevot. That's what I spent all my time doing. I was not old enough to appreciate the Minchas Chinuch himself, so I used to spend trying to figure out the Roshei Tevot. There were so many. And what they did here, Mechon Mishalayim, they now got me to actually learn the Minchas Chinuch itself, because they took care of all the Roshei Tevot, which I wouldn't have been able to do. So he writes over here, Vani Mesupak. What? I mean, Shin Lamazayim. Page Shin Lamazayim of the Minchas Chinuch, of the Mechon Mishalayim edition. Which is after the tshuva of Rav Shlomo Zalman Roybal. Right after that, I started with this. Vani Misupak, he writes, and this is a very famous topic. Ia mitzvah karkata di gabruhu. Is this a proactive kind of mitzvah? Rachmana tziro lahafkir perosu b'shvias. Umuchiyu v'kayim lahafkir. V'yim mafkir is a hefkir. Aleinu mafkir enu mufkar. Is it needs a proactive kind of action. Namely, something that, as he puts it, that applies akakaf to the gabra, means chavas aguf. It's like any other chavas aguf, a mitzvah which devolves upon each one of us individually. That's the first thought. So if a person does not do an act of hefker, when he does, well, I say, become goeno hefker. Rak over al zeras Hashem isbarach kain eich acher asher litlo. If you're not mafkir it, so how can someone else take it? Someone can only take something which is completely without bialim, something that's now ownerless, that's in a kind of olam shel hefker, a world unto itself. Person who takes something that doesn't belong to him, of course, that's he's a gazel. Who will become him becomes mashas. He quotes the Gemaras and the Rambam in Perek Vav Mitzvah Matasanim Malachahei in Perek Vav the Shvius Patim and Amaiser. That's what we know this year. There's no obligation of Trumas and Amaisers given to hefker. Hefker patim ala meiser. In Cain, kol zman shelo hefker came to have hefker chayav asim. So this is the first sad. The first sad is that it requires a proactive kind of activity, and we have to be mafkirit. And there are many halachas of hefker. And without getting into all the details, hefker requires a bezdin, a chatzila, hefker bifnei shlosha, and there are many other dinim of hefker as well. It was actually relevant in the Corona. So many things were relevant during the Corona period, mind-boggling. People weren't able to be tevel the kelim, so they were mafti the kelim. That's what many of the poskim suggested. Both Agrana of Ashavais, Agrana of Ashashechna, many goyim. That's what they suggested, being mafkirin, and then once again being zeicha from hefker. Then later on, you have the opportunity to go ahead and be able to be mafti the kli. But that's one side. Odilma, the other side is no hefker zein tzrichim habayim lahafkir. Something that happens automatically, it's not a proactive action on my part, but rather it's something that the Ribbono Shel Olam takes care of. And the truth is, if you look at the pasuk, which is the makor in Mishpatim, that's the only makor for this. The other psukim in Bahar, which list the both positive and negative commandments, do not at all address this issue of hefker. This issue is only addressed in the Parsha Mishpatim. So how do you interpret those psukim? Either can be interpreted as the first sad, namely that it requires a proactive act of hefka. Vashvi is tishmetena unetashto. Although it can even be interpreted that it's essentially something that requires abandonment, but not necessarily that I have to be the one who does the act of abandonment. And that's what he goes on to say. The second sad over here, that's hafkaita the malchus. Raki no al kamra over al aseizo. That's called the din of meshamer. We discussed that a little bit in the past. Namely, you can't go ahead and put an electronic gate around your field or completely close your field. And that's a machlokes of Rishonim, what the status of meshamer is. But certainly, it's a violation of this requirement. And then he goes on to say, al memela mehefkim, kein ptur meraisi b'cholin yin, chene macha azlocha b'al kofi d'baylin, arayu shalom. If it's avkaita the malchusa, automatically it's hefker. You're not in control. So even if it's done, not by the owner, but done by Hashem is Barach, so then someone else can come along and be Zohman Ayafkir, Akhmal of Kirabai. So essentially, he then goes on, which we're going to be discussing over here, but this issue, if someone does not, go ahead, Shekhar, thank you. If someone is not Mafkir, the property, can you eat from these perils? Do we assume that the parents are hefker bikolbako, or do we not assume that? Now I'm going to get to the next issue in a few moments, hopefully, if not today, Mr. Hashem, probably, hopefully tomorrow night. But there's another issue that he raises over here, which is a very significant issue on the bottom of the page. By the way, notice what they did, this Machon Yishalayim, they made it user-friendly. They even tell you on the side the topics that are being discussed, which is something that is really critical. So on the bottom paragraph, there's a long discussion about women. And this is a very important question. Namely, is this considered to be a mitzvah say, shazman grama? Are women chayim in this act of hefker? What is their status? Often you would say, often, that this is a mitzvah say, shazman grama. It comes once every 7 years, and shazman grama, godel mizeh. This is the classic case of a zman grama. It has a particular time period, a particular time frame. And therefore, women certainly should be potter from this mitzvah of tishmetena. However, if you assume that the mitzvah is on the person, so when they're potter, but let's say we're talking about avkaita the malchusa, something which essentially is be'al Hashem, doesn't require any proactive act of hefker on my part, it's avkoas hamelech. So then the halacha is that even parents belonging to women will also be mufka, will automatically be hefker. So here the mechaschinoch on the bottom of the page, let's just read this also, it's relevant. That's always the chinuch writes. He tells you who is irrelevant to him. So he says it's relevant to both men and women. If it's a proactive event, one could argue it's not called as man groma. The perishrius, the olam hevi dushosa. Somehow that kedusha is nimshach. It's a people often, someone called me today, and this is so common, it's become less common because we've already gone through one Shemitah. Someone called me today with a bottle of wine that's apparently very expensive that has Heta Mechira on it. But it's a bottle of wine from the early years of the 2000. Early years means 2012. I don't recall exactly the date. And then he questioned, he asked me what to do with that. So I told him you have several choices. Either you could go and give it to a non-Jew, assuming that there's a non-Jew in the neighborhood, or you can give it to someone who holds a Heta Mechira, or you can hold like Avshalom Zalman Roy Bar Zatzal in the first Madura. The second Madura, they censured this piece from Avshalom Zalman. Namely, he said that you can eat it B'Kdush HaShvitz, or drink it B'Kdush HaShvitz. You be careful not to waste any part of it, so it should be la'achla, la'achla, hefsed, and we have all the halachas that apply to shvius. And if you drink the b'kdusha shvius, so he told me, I like the third suggestion, because it was several hundred shekel, this bottle of wine. And so he told me that even though that's not, he said, what does that mean exactly? Do I have to drink it down to the bottom of the barrel, or the bottom of the, so I said, basically, yes, that's what you have to do. It means that even if there's a, he said, a drop left. No, I think it was a drop left. I don't think that's a problem. As with other types of things that we do with the Shishriyas, and there's all calls. The other issue which I've referred to in the past, I haven't really addressed it in a frontal way, which I plan on doing in Mitzvah Shem. Namely, there are those who contend, according to the Ramban, If there's a mitzvah to eat peiros, to have kedusha shvias, be kedushasa, and I actually happen to be makbid on that myself. That understanding the Rabban, it's not this great achrayim who says this in the Rabban. I'll get to it, it's Hashem eventually. I'll get to that as well. But here, what? So that's the shaila. What bracha would you make? I don't think you'd make a bracha on eating the peiros and shvias be kedushasa. Yes, it's a bracha. Oh yeah, yeah. I didn't make enough copies. Wow, I apologize, my wife. I'm sorry. I hope you forgive me. What? No, I apologize to you. I would have made more copies. I should have be more optimistic about the number of people coming. That's probably what I should change. I won't be talking like you. I should learn from you. He's trying to be to give me Baruch Hashem, which he succeeded in somewhat. Anyway, and transmitting some of the beautiful qualities that Baruch Hashem do have that he possess. Where was I? I was going to compare when you asked about a bracha. So I said this already. I mentioned this a number of times. There's a bracha called in Yushalmi. They used to wear tefillin all day. I asked Rabbi Nevinsol, who wears tefillin all day, when he makes the bracha, he takes some of his tefillin. He might have a Yushalmi. He takes some quotes in the brachas and elsewhere. Yushalmi said they used to make a bracha, namely Lishmar Tefillah. The bracha is not found in Chazal. It's not found in Gemara. What in heaven's name is the nature of that bracha? First of all, Chazal can't be Mechadish Brachas. That's not found. We can't be Mechadish Brachas. That's not found in Chazal, not found in Gemara. We have a problem with many of the Rashi Ksuvas has a problem with the Bracha of Asher Kedishonim and Mitzvah Tzivara La'arayas, a famous Rush. Because your Bracha has to have one theme. You can't have a Bracha with multiple themes. That has multiple themes. And that's a problem. Automatically, the very nature of the Bracha. We don't have such Brachas with many, many themes. And so this bracha, lishmar tefillah, that's what it sounds like. Like, I would make a bracha, asher kedushanu, v'sveisu tzivanu, shezochiti lishmar, perush v'yiz b'kedushasa, mashu kazeh. It reminds me of that bracha that is quoted by Rishonim about a person taking over his tefillah in Surah Soloveitchik, once commented on that bracha. He quoted a Rambam, the tefillah. The Rambam says, kol zman shetefillah b'reisha, yimzvay shalala, hu'ana b'yirei shamayim. Automatically, the moment the person wears tefillin, he's transformed into an anav, into a modest person, a shamayim. The Rambam says that he's mafta libo, the dibri ha'emes v'atzedek. That's the nature of wearing tefillin. That's what it does. It generates and engenders that kind of tone. And the Rambam says as well that he doesn't divert his attention. I mean, there's an isa v'esek hadas, that's a shakasari and givoris. It's one of my favorite. I actually write for my grandchildren all the bar mitzvah lashes. And I'm very makbid. I write on Chagas Arges. Because that was the Masera. I did it also, except I didn't understand a word of what I said when I had my bar mitzvah lashes. I memorized it. Didn't have a clue, Rabbi Miller, what I was talking about. Not a clue. I knew I had something to do with tefillin, because I kept mentioning the word tefillin many, many times. That was the extent of it. And someone asked me, what exactly am I talking about? I would have been a dead duck. It would have been over. But so my grandchildren, because they live in Israel, they have a much more profound understanding. Plus, I learned the sugars with them. So that's what they have to do. It's not just writing a shakasari. Usually what happens is I write 12, 13, 14 pages. And usually by the time I hear it, it's about 5 pages or 4 pages. Somehow the parents seem to have the kachatzimtzum, the matzamtzim, everything. But I also learned the sugars with them. And melachis, or whatever the sugars are. So that's what gives me a chance to connect with them. Anyway, so Rasul, let's just thought that's part of this bracha. Lishmar tefillah, that a person can be made on himself at the end of the day. I wore the tefillin and God of them big dushasa. That's the bracha, lishmar tefillah. Because the Rambam says that, in effect, the issues with tefillin are, why don't we wear tefillin kol hayom? Number one, because we're worried about Shem yafiach b'hem, Shem yisha b'hem. And number two, we're worried about Asar Hadas. It's like the tzitz, the Gemara says. So that's another question. What's the nature of that bracha? Is that a brichas ha-mitzvah? You're employed. Yeah, noch the mitzvah. So that's another question. That's a shach in your test in Yerodea. Machlokes de Azura and the Rambam. It's in your test in Yerodea. The famous machlokes is that this is Rabbi Miller's area. He's a Yerodea man. So this is the question whether you can make a birchas mitzvah after the asiyas mitzvah. So this is a big machlokes of Rishonim. There's a famous machlokes of Rambam the Ravid in Hilchos Ishus with reference to the bracha of Rambam holds that kedushin is a mitzvah seh. That the Kiddushin Eilu Mitzvah Seh Shal Torah Hen, that's what the Rambam says. Nobody agrees with him. Everyone says that the mitzvah is unapproved, The mitzvah is essentially kedusha is action mitzvah. That's all it is. The mitzvah is puvu, having children. But the Ram passing it's a mitzvah say shall tell you. The Ram has the mishnah and Aleph also. There are two or three rays that bring to the Ram because the mishnah. All the Masechta came of the Ram are talking about this. Either the mishnah and the Aleph and the kedusha mitzvah bo yosef b'mishlucha mitzvah bo yosef b'mishlucha. Mashteikach mitzvah sounds like it's a mitzvah. Also sugyan beitzah the mishnah at the end of Masechta beitzah. Rav Shem Yishuv Rishus, the famous Mishnah also. They're also the Gemara that addressed this question. Okay, but I, again, the reason why, so what's the issue? When do I make that bracha? Do I make it before I see a mitzvah? The Ram says, of course. It's a bichas mitzvah, according to the Ram. It's a mitzvah of Kiddushin. Obviously, it's made before. And the Rabbi says, no. The Rabbi says, no. You can't make it before. Why? So the Rabbi has a very famous, and it's not just the Rabbi, there were other Rishonim who also say that. Maybe under the chuppah, the Kala will say, no, she changed her mind. Now, very difficult. I remember every time I learned this rabbit, every time Talmidim always ask me, what? They tell me, do you know what is involved? Do I know? I'm a bit more than they do about this math. I'm a bit older than Siddur Kedushin, umpteen times. But they said, do you know what flops are? Ever heard of flops? I never heard of flops. Flowers, liquor, orchestra. S in the shekel, apparently that's an item unto itself. And the P, Dagobah, thank you. You know what that is? So you know how much time is involved, they explained to me? These 18, 19, 20-year-old people who are not married b'chol in their lives. So this takes enormous amounts of months, I guess, imagine their siblings or, you know, from their parents or whatever. Anyway, so how could someone under the chuppah? What's the Rabbi talking about? What's he saying? So either the Rabbi is cholik on the Rambam, it could be one of two cats. All the others not a bichas mitzvah. All the shevach vaydo, Of course, you can make it after. Well, the rabbi holds no. That bichas it maybe is a bichas mitzvah. But the problem with this bichas mitzvah, as the rabbi says, that maybe somehow since it totally b'das acherim, the other people involved here, there's a kala, takes two to tango. So maybe you're not completely in control of this this event. Okay, well, this goes back to because I learned this on Dr. Blashley. Anyway, so. No, I'm saying it in the nice way. So, Lishmar, Peros, Kedushas, Sviyas, Mikdushasa, and making a bracha, they would be the bracha like Shamarti, as Kedushas, Peros, Elo, Mikdushasa. I'm just trying to think of an analogy that would be relevant then to the Adagelic Tetzvillin, and maybe perhaps also, especially Rav Soloveitchik was very into this taste at the end of brachas that discussed it. This is the Machon of Mechav Ramah, which I have yet to really fathom. My father was shown to be. I learned a little Shulchan Aruch from my father, not just Chumash, mostly Chumash and Tanakh, but a little Shulchan Aruch we learned also. So we come to the Racham, Racham Ramah, who remembers the Tzvil Shayat, Tzvil Shavuot, 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 Brachas Dibay, two Brachas, one Bracha, etc. Machlum is the Svadim Ashkenazim, so the Svadim make one Bracha, Shir Kedishon, Mitzvah Yisrael, Svadim Ladiyah Tzvilin. Come the Ashkenazim, no, we make a Bracha, and Shalvah, Shal Mitzvah Tzvilin, and then you say, Bok Shein, Mahus, Yilam, Blat. So my father just couldn't get past that. That was the end. It was like, Marusha. Either it's a bracha or it's not a bracha. If it is a bracha, say the bracha. If it's not a bracha, so then what's the bar shame? What's going on over here? So Rav Soloveitchik on this said, probably 6-7 shiurim, I've yet to fathom what he said. I don't, but I know one thing. I know he said that tzvei dinim, there are two alochas that I do know. With reference to alochas tefillin, what is a mitzvah on the tefillin? And then there's another alocha. The hoyu litoy tapas b'ninecha. Mitzvah shavosh is a mitzvah of havaya. That means you should put a keser, put a crown around your head. Namely, when you have put on the tefillin shayyad and tefillin shavosh, not only with the kind of mitzvah v'adacha, which applies to both shayyad and shavosh, but also now you have keser, hilumim, al roisham yotzur, as we say over there. So that's a keser. I tell you something, Sifara, many Rishayim interpreters referring to tefillin shavosh. Svadim, Rambam calls it Hilton Stanios, he calls it Minim. I saw this, Rabbi Miller, I saw this among Svadim, not Tishuba. That they don't wear the tefillin shavosh, even after chatzais, after kinos are over, everyone puts on tefillin. They only put on tefillin shayyad, not tefillin shavosh. The pasuk says, "Hishlich mishamayim eretz tefillin yisrael," and that refers to Yisrael to Yisrael b'sipara. There's a tefillin place in Yerushalayim called Oite Yisrael b'sipara. They deal with tefillin and the like. Sofrim and Yoni Stam. So that's it. So there again, Rav Soloveitchik explained that when a person put on the tefillin shalosh, it's as if kiyamti v'hoyu the tertobos b'nidecha, atin habayah, and a keser around my head. That's basically what I accomplished. So all this is connected to this issue of where a person eats perish shvias and eat them b'kedushasa, would there be a bracha? Namely, shamarti al perish shvias b'kedushasa, like the bracha b'shma tefillah. I'm comparing that to tefillin. I'm just trying to think what else might be proof to this. Okay, so back here in Michas Chinuch. So Michas Chinuch tumults is this mitzvah. We said there's machlokes for Rishonim, which we'll see in a little while when we talk about the pulmas of the mabit and the Beis Yosef. But the machlokes for Rishonim is the obligation of an individual to do an act of hefker, to be proactive about it, or no, it's apkayt to the malchus. The Rebbeinu Shem takes care of it. And then Nafkimina brings the number, Nafkimina is the Michas Chinuch. Nafkimina the one, if I don't do it, I don't do hefker, I don't do an act of hefker. So do we assume automatically anyone who takes that is a gazlan? Well, no, we assume that automatically the Torah actually, Hashem was mafkir the peros in the course of the seventh year, and therefore would that be an act of gazlan? After we do them too, the Gabi Noshim. Is this called a Zman Groma? And that's so he writes over here that Pashit's a Zman Groma once every 7 years. And he suggests maybe no. Maybe it's not a Zman Groma because he says, I'm reading now the third line from the bottom. Lina, I'll make more copies, but you're not mechuyah to come, even if I make more copies. I'll do it just because of what's the mitzvah. So I apologize to you. He writes in the peo shvius the other man big dushasa. Ba'afilu b'shah shonim kem shigolu b'shvius. Lam is man groma. Hear this? That's not called man groma. Now this would require a whole discussion, which I really didn't plan on having. How do you define man groma? That's a big machlokes among the mishayim. Shagasari told us on this also to Re'evet. Has discussion about this. How defines Zman Groma? The Pashut Pshat always to be in my mind a mitzvah that had a specific time period. So let's start. Birchas Hamazon. I'm just stopping. Whatever comes to my head. Is that a Zman Groma? Because the Gemara is a subject with a little bit of Chaim Birchas Hamazon. Because the Gemara of Birchas Hamazon requires also Bris, Oretz, and Torah. Women are not included. They don't have a Chel Gedar Sisrael. And then they're not included in Talmud Torah tactically. And then the issue of bris, are they included in Pashtus bris mila? Of course not. I'm not talking about what's going on. I'm discussing the mitzvahs of what women are obligated in. I'm in a yeshiva that has a lot of young men from more modern kind of circumstances. So they always ask me these kinds of questions. Isn't it possible that the mitzvahs will change? Namely, different people have different practices, and perhaps different than the practices of the Torah, and we have to adjust accordingly. This is a very good question that's presented to me in many areas. So it's very difficult for me to, Rabbi Brat, luckily you're not there. You would have apoplexy. I also have apoplexy. But the only question, I have to respond to this as best I can. It's not so simple. They're trying to explain to me everything has changed. Roles of women have changed. And b'chlal, the world, roles of men have changed. The whole world has changed.
Roles of Mazonas, the same thing.
By the way, one example that I always give, I think this is a good example. That Bezman Chazal, it's very clear from Gemara, is that a cabbage, they would make a shahakal. It's poshut. Bezmanenu, there's no doubt that a cabbage, I think, even from South Africa, you make a bar piyadam on cabbage. I assume they do eat cabbage over there. The way, what they call it, coleslaw. Different types of prepared items that people usually have, sometimes for Shabbos, sometimes during the week. What happened? The answer is that there was a change. A change did take place. This is quoted by Benny Poskin. Discussed this kind of change. So they say to me, oh, since the bracha can change, and that's what Rabbi Freiman just mentioned, with reference to food items, no, so why can't there be other changes also that we can effect in terms of different roles that people have? So it's very difficult for me to answer that question to their satisfaction. Maybe I answer to my satisfaction. I explain to them, I always use this muscle. Again, I'm sort of getting off the topic. Okay, but so there's a book that I read a number of times called Eichmann in Jerusalem. I don't know if anyone here remembers the Eichmann trials. So, Eichmann in Jerusalem was written by a woman named Hannah Arendt. She's a German sociologist. So she argues very, very passionately and fervently that Eichmann essentially should not have been charged with any kind of indictment for murder and all the other crimes that he committed, and that you know what happened at his trial, which was not that many years ago. But she felt he should have been exonerated. Why? He was simply noy kimenag medina. That's the minhag in the medina of Germany to follow the Führer, follow Hitler, and she simply carried out orders. I mean, I told one or two talmidim in my yeshiva this a number of years ago. So one of them actually read the book, which was a pellet. He's like a yetzer haklal. No one reads anything anymore today. But anyway, so he actually went to read the book. He happens to be today. He's already a fair number of years ago. He's already a professor in university. I saw he was heading that direction. Anyway, he read the book and he told me it seems that eminently logical that you simply follow. He said, you ever go to a yakshi shul? Things are very misudar. It's at work. And you're going back to the early German days. So that's exactly what they do. So what's the problem? And why can't? So I tried to explain to him, even then, as 15, 20 years ago, that we have an absolute system of ethics. It's not a system of ethics that is flexible, that is somehow fickle, that's changeable, depending on epoch and era and zeitgeist and context and manual. No. So no, the Revolution created a world with an absolute system of ethics. So he found that to be very difficult to stomach. So actually, recently I had a discussion with him. He came to us as well. And he's a professor. He's a very young professor in his 30s, but he's a professor, a very smart guy. And he told me, he reminded me of that conversation that we had probably 20 years ago, close to 20 years ago. And he told me, he now understands me a little bit better. But at the same time, many people ask me these questions all the time. They pose this on an ongoing basis. Things can change, roles of men and roles of women. Why doesn't the halacha adjust to those changes in roles? Why are we so embedded in concrete? Why are we so somehow kashuach in terms of our attitude and approach? And I told him, I don't think we're kashuach at all. The Zohar says, HaTorah Loveshes Tzurah Pashetes Tzurah. We do take different approaches, but I don't think we're kashuach. I think we're very contemporary. I think we're very relevant to what's happening with Manei Nuanu, but there is a basic set of values that we certainly subscribe to, whether it's in terms of sexual morality. That's what I'm talking about. It's one of the areas, because they now talk to me about wokeness. That's the latest discussion that they're having with me, young men, on these kind of topics. And when we have question and answer at least once a month, and I'm bombarded with these kinds of questions, which I find to be not easy to answer, not easy to respond to. Okay, so back to Zman Grava. That's how we started with this. So I can blame it on Mechas Chinuch. So Mechas Chinuch, what?
Saying that starts but doesn't finish.
That's right, exactly. Means a mitzvah, which is Zman Grava, as you put it very beautifully, Philip, it has a beginning and an end. Whatever that time period may be, whatever that frame of reference is, this essentially begins and does not end. I just told you about this 2012 bottle of wine that someone asked me about. What to do with Hefter Mechira? And I gave him several answers what he should do with that bottle of wine that cost several hundred shekel. That's why he was worried about it. And he lacked the third eitzah. He drink a Bikdusha Shvias because it's a very expensive bottle of wine.
So Mila would be like that except it's not the mitzvah.
Okay, the same. I'm just saying that, but he's giving you, I mean, he gives actually, if you take a look here a bit further, I'm not going to go through the whole discussion. He goes to the famous Chogos of Rishayim regarding tzitzis, and in terms of Ksus Yom and tzitzis upon the Balai, there's a big discussion, the Rambam, the Rosh, it's a very well-known discussion, and he goes on to a number of other, anyway, but all this is simply to come to the Maskana regarding women. I'm now in the left-hand column. El Al-Korcha, he says, you have to say, according to this, women should be parted from this mitzvah, say, because it's his man grandma. It's the Kedusha Hanim Sheches. Question, is there any other parallel to this in terms of other mitzvahs? Do you have any other mitzvah? People, Bichas Hamazon is obviously not as Zman Grom, because it depends when I eat. I eat 3 o'clock in the morning, I eat 12 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm a chuyim, Bichas Hamazon. Person eats bread, it's chayav to bench. What other example can we bring? So that's exactly also, the question there is, are women obligated in the midst of eating Erev Yom Kippur? So that's discussed. The Rabbi Yain has in Shari Tshuva a number of reasons for this mitzvah. But clearly, the way the Rashi writes in Yuma, many of you should say this, Rabbi Yain also writes like that, they are fasting. So if it's a hachana for the fast, no question, women also obligated in the midst of eating Yom Kippur, Shum Sovim. Maybe the other Tamim that the side of Abadiyonah perhaps would not be necessarily relevant to women. I'm just trying to think of any other examples in terms of Zman Grama, not Zman Grama, Kiddush Levana, just had it. So the practice is that women don't do Kiddush Levana. Now, so let's see, Pascha, not like that. You know, the women, of course, do Kiddush Levana. They're Ferish Gemara. Gemara Tzav Hebe. Claw Gemara, that women did Kiddush Levana. And I'm in a family that they're aware of this psak. Before I arrived on the scene, Rabbi Weiss, they also were aware of this. I don't want to say whom they heard it from, because I don't know if that would be right, since I didn't hear from him directly. I heard it from Rav Soloveitchik. He said, women should do Kiddush Levana. We should be across from the Shulchan Kodesh. That they were going to the Gavin Levana, all kinds of Kabbalistic reasons, but Mikra did, no reason why women should not do Kiddush Levana. Many women do it because the argument is there, Mr. Brewer Kohl said, if you amakha Kiddush Levana, you will be nitzel from Nezek kol ha-chadish kula. That's a skula, but you not so be Nezek. As they say in Mr. Brewer, it's quoted by the Dodi Achreinim, so many women like to do it. They want to be nitzel from Nezek kol ha-chadish. Why not? Why should they also not be nitzel from Nezek? But is that called the mitzvah say shazman grom the pashtus? I would say yes. Would you not say so? Maybe you would argue that's not a zman grom. Why not?
Looking at the ocean.
Correct. Okay, that's what many argue. So therefore, it's not a zman grom. So women are chayim. Why shouldn't they be chayim? Kiddush Levana. And the time that's given by the Mishnah Berurah for the Shul Kodesh is only al pi haKabbalah, al pi haSod. Mishnah Berurah Kol said. So sometimes women ask me. I deal with all kinds of women who are sometimes. Rabbi Rad, you don't meet them, but I do. They're a bit more progressive. And they always ask me about these things. What's the... And also, Michal, what does it mean that women are Gurim, the Gamla Levana? I have difficulty explaining all these things either. I mean, I could tell them, it's a Pasuk in Chumash. You know what happened with Chava? So, right away, why should we be tainted with what Chava did? We are not doing things that are not in sync with halacha in the country. We follow halacha. We're very careful. We're very reductive. Why should Chava somehow be, as far as we're concerned, what is Ma'in and Chava etzleinu? This is what I get, Rabbi Brad. Okay, besides Shani, I say. Okay. I agree. I'm asking to that, Rabbi Weiss. We're just saying it is part of a whole package, but it's easy to take individual items and attack them as opposed to seeing the entire. I agree with you totally, but it's still, you know, a person 18, 19, 20 is not yet aware of the entire package as you come to that point in time. Okay, back over here. So, again, the Mechatz Chinuch has this discussion, the second Achimina, and as I said, really what the basis, what the Mechatz Chinuch is saying is the following. Now, why is it not a mitzvah say shazman grama? The answer is because the mitzvah is on the peros, not on the karka. I mean, the kedusha, as he writes over here, the peros is kedusha shvius, and if that kedusha shvius, so then of course it's kedusha shvius laila. It's something that applies actually on a permanent kind of basis. So now, if that's the case, so then of course that there would be an obligation for women to be mafke peros as well. So let's just cite the two nafkaminas la halacha between the what the Mechaschina quotes as a big machlokes, which we'll see in Mitzvah Hashem the next year. The pumas, I call it, the pumas behamapit la besese, a pumas she kayam ad ayom azeh. Hundreds and hundreds of years, this pumas is still taking place ad ayom azeh. It's called the pumas we see in Bnei Brak and Yerushalayim, but essentially, a pumas azeh kayam ad ayom azeh. So the two nafkaminas, one is, number one, the question of hefker. I mean, if a person was not mafkir, so what's the status of those peros? So it's totally on the machlokes whether there's a proactive mitzvah to be mafkir. So then, if a person is not mafkir, then someone who takes it would be a gazlan. But if it's akayt in the office, so automatically it happens. So then, it doesn't make a difference. Someone else could take it. The second nafkamina is the question of women. What is their status? Is this called as Zman Grama, not as Zman Grama? So this argument goes back, which was really Machlokes Shehis'ira Tzfat V'Yerushalayim. It literally caused a major storm. This is really more your area, Harav Brad Shlita, than my area. I have actually a sefer that goes through the entire history of this, a very pretty fat sefer. It's not just one today. There's several svarim. Among the many, as you pointed out, every week another sefer Shemitah comes out. And every single Shemitah, that's what happens. There are literally probably 1,000 svarim on Shemitah, probably more than that. But I have an entire sefer that details the entire history of this pumos between the Mabir and the Beis Yosef. I plan on talking a little bit about it, Hashem. But anyway, before 500 years ago, and probably it seemed to me that this storm that took place then probably was bigger than any storm that I've seen in my lifetime. It's Pero Shvias of the God. Is it Chaim Tumas of Isis or not? There's the machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabir. Very fundamental machlokes. And as I said, that this is totally on a number one general. Why a Pero Shvias Pata from Isis? Actually, here in this piece, the Chassidim also has reference to this. Namely, there's a Rashi in the Rambam. They assume that Hefker is part of the Tumas of Isis. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Uba Levi ki ein lo chelik benachla imach yatsa ze she ish lo chelik benachla imach because v'yisum toichal chayas asode v'yoni amecho, all of us, everyone can have access actually to Shemitah. That means automatically it's Hefker, and Hefker is part of the Tumas of Isis. That's the time that Rashi brings, the Rambam brings. However, the Tzeis of Rosh Hashanah, he alluded to it, the Mechassin of Yom Tazvav and Beretz, he said, no, Peru Shvias Be'etzem, without Kesha the Hefker, are part of the Trumas of Isis. That's the assumption. What's Mafkia, the Trumas of Isis? The Kedusha Shvias. The fact that it has Kedusha Shvias, that's a Havkor of Trumas of Isis. This is a big Machlokes of Rishonim, so that's a very significant backdrop to what we're going to discuss. The second Hakdama, which also is critical, is now the question about Peru's Eretz Yisrael, Shegobu Eitzel Goy, they grew in the possession of a non-Jew. Now, of course, it depends on another factor. Who does the Meruach? Sometimes it could be Godel Aydei Goy, but Meruach was done by a Jew. It's the Gemara Malacha was done actually by a Jew. So now what's the status of those parents? What we're talking about what is coming today, Yavul Nochri, Toteres Chutz, as it's called. What's the status of those parents? This is the Machlokes between the Beis Yosef and the Mabit. It means Gidul Eitzel HaGoy. The Meruach actually was Eitzel Yisrael. Means, let's say I purchased grapes from a non-Jew and made wine out of them. So my chayim now to some Isis, my chayim to some Isis. So this is a big machlokes between the Mapit and the Beis Yosef. Both of them were Dayonim in the city of Tzfat, in the Bezner of Tzfas. Both of them are Mibugurashi Svarad. Both of them were banished from Spain. They have a lot in common, both the Mapit and the Beis Yosef. Both of them are Talmidim of Yaakov Beirav. Both received the famous smicha that was actually given by the Rebbe in a smicha that's based on a Rambam that caused enormous controversy. That smicha itself caused a tremendous controversy. It was only for a very short tkufa that smicha was given. And we know that Mabit is machaber of many, many svarim. So the Shuk Mabit that we're going to refer to over here, but there are also other svarim that he wrote that are very well known. One of his probably famous svarim is the Kiyat Sefer. Kiyat Sefer is a sefer that's used quite often by other yeshivas. It's written on the Rambam. He actually goes through every single halach in the Rambam, and he either reformulates it or recasts it, or somehow presents it in a different kind of light. He tells you which adim the rabbanu, which adim the raisa, and there are many diukim that the briskers love that sefer. It's one of the popular svarim in the world of brisk because they usually have chidushim, but they need somewhere to hang their hat on, and that's why the briskers are always consumed, always accused of preconceived chidushim Torah that they have, and now they just have to. To call our salvation, but never end stupid. You have to somehow find a place to put it. So they find a place to put it. Often the Kiyas Sefer is a very popular source for them that they can hang their hat on the Kiyas Sefer. And he also wrote another gorgeous Sefer, the Beis Elokim, which is a fantastic, absolutely fantastic Sefer. More Musa, Makshava, Tfila, Tshuva, many, many beautiful elements that I found. Anyway, so we're going to discuss Mitzvah Hashem starting hopefully tomorrow, please, Neder. My Shvei used to say, "Bli neder, bli shvua, bli chayr, bli kainah, bli shabta, bli orah." That's what he used to say. Anyway, so hopefully tomorrow we'll get to that. My focus, and then we'll see. You have this may. I'll take it back, but I'm going to bring a few more. I'll make a few more tomorrow. And my machine was broken, and usually I have a problem, and the machine, the shiva was broken, everything was broken. So I was not in a good situation. This I only did. Someone was kind enough, let me do a favor. I ran to someone's domicile before the shiva.